If you have your Bibles tonight, book of Genesis chapter number 24. Genesis chapter number 24. Be happy to answer any questions or anything. If you're interested in going on a mission trip, let us know. I know y'all go on some here, and y'all know what that's like. That's a blessing, ain't it? Just to get to go somewhere and do something for the glory of God, it sure is an honor. God would use us. The greatest thing I can do in this life is do something for God. Amen. Genesis chapter number 24. I'm going to skip around on a few verses, so follow along if you can. If you can't, that's all right. I'm going to start in verse 1, read down through verse 4, and then I'm going to skip along and read some different verses throughout the rest of the chapter. Genesis chapter 24, beginning verse number 1. The Bible said, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee to swear by the Lord God of heaven and the God of the earth that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Verse number 10, "And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master was in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor." Verse 15, "And when it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher up on her shoulder." Skip way over now, verse number 58. Then the Bible said, "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go." Verse 61. "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way." Verse 64. "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off a camel." Verse 67. "And Isaac brought her unto his mother, and mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Father, we love you tonight, and we're thankful for this privilege to be able to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for everything that's been said and done. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, which we've read tonight. I'm praying now, Lord, as we've come, that you'd help us, Lord, as we stand to preach. I pray, God, for that anointing that we need, Lord, to be able to preach what you put in our heart. And I pray, God, that you'd deal with each one of us that's here. Don't, Lord, let us leave without hearing something from heaven. Might be one here tonight have a special need. Might be a lost person in our midst. Father, if there is, I pray, God, you'd deal with that heart. Help them to see the need to come to Christ and be birthed in the family of God. And then, Lord, I pray, God, you'd encourage those that are saved by your grace. Help us, Lord, to do all we can while we can before we run out of time. Help us, Lord, not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. And, Lord, whatever you do now, we'll thank you and we'll praise you and give you glory for it. Lord, for it's in Christ's precious and holy name that we do pray and amen. Here we find in chapter 24 of the book of Genesis. I'd like to have read the whole chapter to you, but we don't have time. But you find Abraham has called up the eldest servant in his house and told him to go find a bride for his son Isaac. Amen. So his eldest servant of his house, he leaves and takes 10 camels of his master and all the supplies that he needs. And he travels down to Mesopotamia and he ends up going out into a well place when the ladies came out to water. And the outcome, Rebekah, and she's brought her water pot. And the servant, Abraham's servant, has met her out there. And to make a long story short, she invited him to come to her house. And the servant goes home with her, and they get over there to her house. He goes ahead and tells them why he's there. He said, "Look, I've come to find a bride for my master's son, Isaac." And he goes on to explain how it happened and how he left and how he met her. And he ends up finally then asking the question in verse 58. They finally said, "Well,
thou go with this man. And she said, I will go. Well, she gets what she has and takes a little bit with her, and she crawls up on one of those camels, and they head out on their journey to meet the groom. Amen. Now, this is kindly amazing to me. She's on her way to be wed to one that she has never seen with her physical eyes. Amen. Are you getting a hold of this tonight? The father sent a servant to find a bride for his son. Amen. That's what's going on today. The father has sent a servant to find a bride for his son. You have to think, well, who is this servant? Well, I'd like to say it's kindly a picture of the man of God, but I don't believe it is. The eldest servant of his house is a better picture of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing in our world today. That's what He's doing in our churches tonight. He's looking for a bride for His Master's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to preach for just a little bit tonight, if God would help me. I'm looking for a bride. Amen. I'm glad He's still looking for a bride. Amen. When its bride is complete, then we'll leave this old world behind, and we'll go to the wedding, amen, and we'll sit down at the marriage supper, but not until the bride's complete. I'm glad it's not complete tonight. Why you say that, preacher? If you're here lost tonight, there's still hope for you. You might be able to get in on this thing. You might still be able to be a part of that great wedding that's going to take place in just a few days. And I really believe, church, it's not going to be too far ahead. I believe we're getting real close to the great wedding day in heaven. I believe it won't be too long until we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to feast like never before. I'm glad He's still looking for a bride. Amen. There's three things I want to show you in this very quickly, and we'll be done. I want you to notice, first of all, the servant's job. The servant was commissioned to do a job. He was commissioned to go out and find a bride for his darling son Isaac. Isn't it amazing? He told him, don't get one in my own country. He said, go back there. Don't get one in this country. Go back to my country and find a bride for him. Listen to me, church. God could have created a bride for His son Jesus Christ. He didn't have to include me and you in this. Amen. He chose the children of Israel as His people, and He didn't even have to extend that to the Gentiles. We were just old Gentile dogs. But boy, I'm glad to tell you tonight, God in His love and mercy, let me and you get in on this thing. Let us be a part, and let us have a hope and a home waiting on us in the glories of heaven. Amen. He could have got a bride somewhere else, but He sent a bride, sent His servant to look for a bride amongst people like me and you. The servant's job is to search for a bride. That's what the Holy Ghost done that night when I was 9 years old. He came up Harris Creek. And I know y'all don't know where Harris Creek is. A lot of people don't. But the Holy Ghost of God did. He knowed exactly where it was. He knowed how to get to my mamaw's house. Amen. I wasn't saved in church. I'm telling you, anywhere the Holy Ghost to pick you up is a good place. So, amen. I was at my grandma's on a Thursday night in an old cottage prayer meeting. An old man of God standing beside an old wood stove preaching the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost was moving around. And the Holy Ghost, I was sitting out on the porch. He wasn't even on the inside. The Holy Ghost came out on the porch. He spoke to my heart, and He didn't say it like this, but He just well could have. He said, would you like to be a part of the bride of Christ? Amen. I didn't know what I was saying. I really didn't. I said, yeah, I would. Amen. I went in there and knelt down beside that old wood stove. Just like that, I became promised to the Lord Jesus Christ. We hadn't been wed yet, but wedding day's coming, amen. I'm just glad I'm a part of the bride. It's the servant's job is to search for the bride. And the servant's job is to speak to him. speak to the bride. I know we're begotten by the Word, but it's the Holy Ghost of God that takes the Word of God and breaks down an old hard heart of an old sinner and shows him that he's lost and tells him that he's lost and tells him there's a better way and points to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the servant's job. Bless the night when he spoke to me. Amen. I want to ask you, has there ever been a time in which the Holy Ghost of God spoke to your heart? You ought to thank God for that day. Amen. Yeah, you ought to thank God for the time when the Holy Ghost came to where you was and spoke to your heart and told you you was lost without God and told you that you needed the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Thank God for the day when He spoke to me. Amen. That's the servant's job. He's to search for the bride. He's to speak to the bride. And then it's the servant's job to secure the bride. Amen. Now, you can think what you want to, but when Rebecca said, I'll go, I don't believe nobody could have stopped them from going. Amen? When she said, I'll go, it became the eldest servant of Abraham's responsibility to see to it that she made it to the bridegroom. Amen? Hey, listen to me. If it was up to me, Brother Tim, I'd never make it through this world. I could never survive long enough to get to Jesus. Matter of fact, I really probably wouldn't even know the way. Now, I know Lord Jesus Christ is the way. That's not what I'm saying. I ain't never been to heaven. I wouldn't know how to get there outside of the help of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost that night secured me. In other words, He sealed me. Amen. That night I was sealed. The preacher where I was at this morning got to talking about how an old black heart stained with sin, stained with the muck and the mire of this world's an old black heart, and how that red blood can wash that black heart and make it whiter than snow. Amen. That's what happened to me. My soul was cleansed that night. My black heart was washed in the red blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it came out white as snow. And then I got to thinking, He mentioned something about the sin we commit after that. Yeah, they still some blackness gets in sometimes, but not in that sealed part. My life still gets stained with sin, but my soul will never be stained again. Amen. Why? Because it's been sealed with the Holy Ghost of God. Ain't nothing can keep me now from getting to the bridegroom. There may be days I think I'm never going to make it. There may be days I'll say, Lord, there's no use of going on. I can't go through no more. I promise you this, there's nothing can stop me. Hey, the Holy Ghost is going to see to it that I get to see the bridegroom here in just a little while. It's His job. He's to secure the bride. That's the servant's job. When Rebecca said she'd go, it's his job to see to it that he got her to Isaac. And I promise he's going to do everything he could to make sure she got there. Amen. Now let me look at something else very quickly. Here's where I wanted to go. We see the servant's job. Let's look at the bride's journey. That's where we're at tonight. We're on a journey. We hadn't got there yet. We have been espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the church is? Those of us been saved by the grace of God. We are engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wedding hadn't took place yet. Now, I just as well be there because the Holy Ghost is going to make sure I'm there. I just well go ahead and say I'm a part of the bride or I'm united with the Lord Jesus Christ, but I hadn't got there yet physically. So where we're at tonight, we're in the journey part. I like this. The Bible said in verse 61, and Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Did y'all see that? Went his way. She didn't know where Isaac was. She didn't know how to get to Isaac. So it was the servant's job to carry her unto Isaac. Well, that's what's happening tonight. Now, this may seem kind of funny to you, but this was a guided trip. Amen? It was a guided trip. It was that servant that went his way and took Rebekah and what she had and headed out to go meet Isaac.
Right.
Amen. I'm glad I am being guided. Amen. By the eldest servant of the Father's house. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost of God that is guiding me through this wicked old world. Amen. I'm glad I'm not alone. I'm glad I'm not by myself. I'm glad I ain't having to navigate the trip. I wouldn't know what to do. Amen. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost of God, I would have never known the pastor. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost of God, I'd never know when to quit. I'd never know when to pick up. I'd never know when to stop. And I'd never know when to start. I'm glad the trip's a guided trip. Amen. That ought to help us rest a little easy. Some of us are twiddling our thumbs and wondering and worrying how in the world we're going to make it. Now listen, I know we need to plan. And I know we need to prepare. I know we need to do our part. But listen, friend, it's the Holy Ghost of God that's going to see to it that we make it. Amen. We ought not need to worry if we're going to make it. All the thing ought to be on our minds when we're going to make it. Amen. Church, if you're part of the bride, if you've really been saved by the grace of God, it ain't a question if you're going to make it. It's just a question of when we're going to make it. And I believe it's going to be sooner than we think. Amen. It's a guided trip. Well, let me say this is also a graceful trip. Graceful trip. They crawled up on camels and they rode on camelback to meet the bridegroom. You say, how in the world you see that being graceful? There's some things I learned about a camel that I need to share with you tonight. When I went to Saudi Arabia and spent the time I spent over there, it's amazing. You'd be out in the middle of nowhere in the desert. And here'd come an old Bedouin herder and have a bunch of camels with him, following him along in the middle of nowhere. I mean, no greenery, no food, no water, miles away. And what's real funny sometimes, Brother Tim, there's only like three kinds of cars over there. There was Volvo tractor and trailers, Mercedes cars, and Nissan pickups. I didn't see nothing else. That's all I seen over there. And every now and then we'd meet a Nissan pickup coming down the interstate. Little old bitty pickup and something great old big sticking off over the top of the cab of that truck. We'd get a little bit closer and lo and behold, they'd have a camel on his belly laying on the bed of that truck and a big old camel head stuck over the cab. They'd transport them camels on the back of them trucks. I learned a lot about them camels. And I got to looking at this and what Rebecca's doing riding this camel to meet Isaac. God began to show me some things. That camel, first of all, is a big creature. And in order for Rebecca or for anybody else to get on board, that camel would have to come down to our level. Amen. They'd take it's like a little old whip. They wasn't mean or nothing, but they'd take a little old whip and they'd start pecking them on the back. And that old camel would start working its way. It's slow now, but it'd come. That old camel would start working its way, and it'd get down, and it'd get down on them knees. And they'd pack it a little bit more, and it'd get all the way down on its belly, and they could climb up and get on the camel's back. Let me tell you something. I couldn't get to where I needed to be. He had to come to where I was to ever let me get on this thing called grace. Amen. Hey, there wasn't nothing I could do to merit His favor. There wasn't nothing I could do to get good enough. There wasn't enough things I could change. There wasn't enough things I could give up. And there wasn't enough things for me to start. But I'm glad He knew how low I was. And He could come down to where I was and let me get on this thing called grace. Amen. That's what that camel done there with Rebecca. It got down real low so she could crawl on. Amen. But then when that thing stood up, she was much higher than she was before. I'm glad when grace found me, He didn't leave me where I was, but He picked me up to higher ground. Thank God tonight. Listen, I'm not the same as I used to be. I'm not traveling like I used to be. Things are different now since I found the grace of God, and I'm glad to be a part of the grace of God. Amen. them knees of that camel. It's like having knee pads on. There's such calluses on them camel's knees. It don't matter what kind of grounds you own. It don't matter how rough the rocks are. It don't matter what it is. That camel can always get down, and it don't hurt it a bit. But I always seen the fact is when it got down, it was always coming up. It'll never leave you down there when you get down to the bottom. Always pick you up. I can see that day when Miss Rebecca crawled on them camels. Amen. And picked her up and she began the ride. That's what happened. I was 9 years old. And he picked me up. And I began the ride. I'm 40 now. That's been 31 years ago. I'm still on the journey. And you know what's got me thus far? It's been the grace of God that's took me this far. And you know what's going to deliver me safe to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's going to be the grace of God that's going to pull me in one of these days and get me over yonder on the other side. As Rebecca topped that over that last hill, and she lifted up her eyes, she beheld, and there was Isaac. What got her there? It's them camels. What's going to get us there? It's the grace of God that's going to get us there one of these days. Don't let it catch you off guard. We're going to be riding along on this journey, going about our business like never before. And one of these days, we're going to lift up our eyes. And behold, the bridegroom cometh. Amen. What a meeting that's going to be when we finally get to see him. It's by the grace of God. I've gotten where I am. And it's by the grace of God I'm going to get to where I'm going. Amen. I look back and see some of my stupidity. I look back and see some of my mistakes. It can only be the grace of God that's got me where I am tonight. Amen. I'm glad there's something bigger than me. I'm glad there's something more powerful than me in charge of me, getting me to where I'm going. If it's up to me, I'd never make it, Brother Tim. There's no way I'd ever make it if it wasn't for the grace of God. No wonder. John Newton, like they sang about a while ago, no wonder he said it's amazing. It's amazing grace that's got me this far. It's amazing grace that's going to lead me home. I thought about them camels' knees, but then I thought about them camels' hoofs. They're designed very uniquely. Now, they don't have to shoe them things like we shoe our horses and mules. God shoed them. And if you take an old mule or a horse like we have here and pick him up and set him down in the middle of the desert in that sand, he'd kill himself trying to get anywhere. He couldn't go. That sand, you just sink in that sand. But God so designed the feet of those camels that they can tread on sand, they can tread on rocks, they can tread in any kind of territory there is, and it don't hurt them a bit. Isn't that amazing? It don't matter what kind of territory you're going through, the grace of God can glide you through and get you through whatever you're going through. Amen. Them hooves can walk through the hospitals. Them hooves can carry you through the nursing home. They can help you through the treatments. They can get you through the funeral home. Them hooves can carry you wherever God's got to take you through. Amen. We may have to go through some rough territory. I don't know what's left on the journey. I'd like to just wake up in the morning and be home. But if not, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know where the grace of God's going to lead me. But wherever He leads me, He's going to keep me and He's going to help me. I'm glad there's nowhere that we can go in this world that the grace of God can't get us through it. Amen. Some of you have been through some rough stuff. Some of you, if we really look back on your life, we'd wonder, how on earth did you get to where you're at? Can I tell you how? The grace of God has got us here where we are tonight. And some of you hadn't been through nothing yet. Thank the Lord for it. Some of you hadn't experienced death. You've never had a close family member leave. You don't know what nothing about cancer. Ain't that a blessing? You ought to be a shouting of victory tonight. But we don't know what tomorrow holds. And I want you to know this. If death does come your way, if cancer touches your heart or your house or wherever it may be, I promise you this, the grace of God can carry you through when it seems like there's no way to make it. Hey, you mentioned Mitchell Smiley. My mind stays on Brother Mitchell. You know how he does what he does? He just keeps going. It's the grace of God. I picked up a phone, called a preacher the other day and talked to his wife. She answered the phone. He wasn't home. And she was going the next morning for surgery. She has breast cancer. And it really does not look good for her. I mean, it's bad. But she talked to me like she was the happiest person on earth. I mean, she said, "Preacher, I'm not one bit worried." She said, "I can't believe it. I'm not a bit worried. It's going to be fine no matter what happens." I said, "That has to be grace. That has to be grace." I've watched loved ones. My brother Tim stand beside the casket of a family member. I watched one mama, Brother Tim, stand behind the casket of her daughter. And I watched her stand up there, and that's what she sang. She got up and sang "Amazing Grace." How sweet the sound. How can you do that? I tell you, it's the grace of God. I thank God for the grace that's going to get us through. There's no area, there's no territory, there's no terrain that the grace of God can't carry us through. Amen. God designed it that way. It's knees, it's hooves, it's eyes. It's got special eyes. I was over there during Christmas, and Bob Hope came over to see us during Christmas. I didn't personally get to see him, but I did escort him. And he came on Christmas Eve to where we was, and we had a big old escort, and I was a 60 gunner. I know that don't mean much to you, but I was in the turret of a Humvee, and my upper body stuck out of the vehicle. And I had to stay there. And we got in the worst sandstorm on Christmas Eve we had the whole time I was over there. Man, the sand was blowing. You couldn't see 30 yards in front of you. We had to crawl in them vehicles. And we had goggles on, and we had bandanas wrapped around us and peek holes. And sand was getting everywhere. It was in her weapons. It was in her clothing. It was in her shoes. You name it, it's getting there. You're talking about miserable. But this honest truth, Brother Tim, I remember looking that day on Christmas Eve, and I saw a band of camels going like nothing with them heads stuck up, just traveling on. I said, how on earth can they go and see where they're going? I mean, they got big old eyes. But God designed it in such a way that they've got a protective covering over their eyes, that the sand can't get in, and it can't scratch, and it can't hurt, and it just bounces off, and they go on. That's what the grace of God will do. Some of the worst storms that will ever come our way, when it seems like it could sink the biggest ship, it cannot penetrate the grace of God, and it will not take us down. The grace of God will keep carrying us through, no matter how bad the storm gets in our life. Amen. God designed it that way. Isn't that amazing? Hey, don't tell me there's no God. Hey, how could you be a scientist and study the animal world and even see that God's not real and God's not designing this thing and God's not in charge? It's all God. It's eyes. It's nose. Now, it's kind of seem funny and strange, but it's real. Barren land. No waters. I didn't see no oases or whatever that is. I didn't see nothing like that. Oh, here's a big palm tree and a little pool of water out in the middle. I never seen none of that. I didn't. It might have been there. Maybe I wasn't delusional enough. I didn't see it. But there's something about a camel that can smell water. Now, if you've got some water that you're smelling, you're in bad shape. I've been in some places and stayed places where you could smell the water. I wasn't too interested in it, by the way. If you can smell your water, you need to do something. Some people like that and you can't help it. You get to where it don't bother you and you drink it anyway. Amen.
I'm not being, I just hurt somebody's feeling. Well, you've got sulfur in your water. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Sometimes you just can't help it. But them camels can smell it. And from great distances, you know what the grace of God will do? When it gets barren and dry in your heart, it's the grace of God that leads us to a place, whether it's green pastures, whether it's still waters, whether it's the house of God, or whether it's a phone call from an old saint, the grace of God will carry us to a place to where we can get a little relief and get a little taste of a water flowing from another fountain. It's the grace of God that gets that to us and gets us to where we can be fed and where we can get what we need to make it on through. Have you ever been so down and dry, disheartened, discouraged, and you didn't know what to do? You even thought about quitting. And about that time, maybe the phone rings. Or about that time, somebody walks up and puts their arm around you. You ever been like that? That's just the grace of God. I don't know how many times. I'm not super spiritual. I'm not one of these that never quits. I've quit so many times, it's been amazing. Amen. It's just the grace of God that keeps me going. Amen. And it's been time after time, when I get to my lowest, it's the grace of God that brings somebody to me or takes me to somebody and gives me a little drink that I was really needing and helps me go on for the glory of God. That camel smell the water. Amen. Now, boy, I got to looking at this, and this is amazing. Not only its nose, but I began to look and study at it, its stomach. Now this, I don't want to make nobody ill or nothing, but inside that camel are several sacs in its stomach area. And when that camel does find water, it'll lap it up and lap it up and lap it up. We had water bottles, Brother Tim. They made us keep them. They didn't want us to get dehydrated. And it's honest truth. I wouldn't make this stuff up. I had about four or five of those with me, and this Bedouin come through with some camels and offered us to ride them. I never did ride one or not. But I took one of those water bottles, and I had it there, and I took a sup or two of it, and I walked over to that camel, and I put that up to its lips. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I turned that jug up, and it just went to lapping that up and lapping. It finished that whole big old bottle, one of them big ones. I went and got me another. I opened it up and took it over there, and sure enough, it took three of them dry. Dried all three of them up. I got to... That's strange. What that camel does is store that water in those sacks inside its stomach. And it can keep it there as long as they need to be there. And when it gets out way out in a barren place, in a dry place, and it gets thirsty, it causes a little convulsion in the stomach, and it'll bust one of those sacks, and it's drinking from water that nobody can see. That's what the grace of God does. It's them little old saints laying in the hospital, laying over there at the nursing home. Isn't it amazing how you can go by to be an encouragement? Try to go by and uplift them. But when you get there and you talk about Jesus and there's a little hand raised toward heaven and a little tear begins to swell up in their eye and they begin to shout and they begin to talk about home and looking forward to getting to heaven. You know what they're doing? They're drinking from a fountain that you can't see. Amen. God's got something special for them. It's the grace of God that gives them a drink when it seems like there's nowhere to drink, when it seems like there's nothing that can bring any satisfaction. It's the grace of God that causes that. I don't know how many times I went to be the encouragement, and I was one that got encouraged. That's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. It's a graceful journey. What I'm saying tonight, church, is the grace of God's going to carry us through this whole world. And we ought to actually enjoy the trip. We sit back too much and we complain and we grumble and we gripe and we talk about how hard it is and how tough we've got it. When the grace of God has sustained us through harder times than this, and the grace of God's going to take us through maybe even harder times than this, there's nothing to complain about. Just enjoy the journey. They said them sacks could hold up to 50 gallons of water in an average-sized camel. Isn't that amazing? God's going to get us through. In the barren, in the dry land we're traveling through, And America is getting more barren and more dry than I've ever seen it before. The grace of God's going to get us through. That's the bride's journey. Now, can you imagine? That day, she's weary. She's tired. I don't know exactly how many days it was. But she got to where she was going. By the way, there's another message in there. 10 camels of his master. 10 of them. There's so much of grace. If you need one kind of grace today, you can get on this one. If you need another kind of grace tomorrow, you can get on that one. There's so many different kinds of God's grace. There's saving grace. There's keeping grace. There's suffering grace. There's dying grace. Whatever we need, God's got it for us. Can you imagine that day when it finally came? She's weary. She's tired. Now, young people, you don't know a whole lot about what I'm telling you right now. I mean, let's be honest. We love in life. We've got a lot we're looking forward to, but you think about an old saint's got a few miles on them. You think about these that's been through it. They've seen hard days, and they look at us and say, you think it's hard now. You should have lived back in the 20s and 30s during the Great Depression. You know, they think, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Think of all they've gone through. You think them dear old ladies that's done outlive 3 husbands and 5 kids and things of that nature. Can you imagine when she got so weary and tired and got over that last little hill? And the servant just smiled. And there was Isaac. And he looks over and said, we're home. One of these days, Brother Tim. Hey, you may not be looking for too much forward to it right now, but I'll be honest with you. Every day I live, I'm getting a bigger, deeper longing to go home than I ever have before. This world's losing its luster to me. And the heather side's looking a whole lot better to me every day. Your songwriter said it right. Heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. One of these days, church, hang on. Just a little while, we're going to top out over the last ridge. We're going to go to the hospital for the last time. You're going to take the last chemotherapy treatment. Amen. You're going to visit the funeral home for the last time. You're going to hear bad news for the last time. You're going to hurt for the last time. You ain't going to take no more pain pills. And you ain't going to struggle to breathe no more. One of these days we're going to top out. And the Bible said she lighted off the camel. She didn't wait for it to get down and let her off. Man, she just slid off of that thing. She said, I'm finally home. I'm going to tell you, listen, thank God for grace. But this coming day, we ain't going to need grace no more. Amen. We're going to be in Jesus. Hey, what can be better than being with Him? Amen. She lit off that camel and she seen her beloved. She had never laid physical eyes on Him. I believe by the time she got there, she had heard so much about Him. And I believe everything that the servant told her about Him, the deeper she fell for Him. I'm telling you, we ought to be falling deeper in love with Him now than we've ever been before. Amen. If Jesus don't mean something to you, you probably ain't been on the journey too long. Amen. If He don't mean something to you, I wonder if you've even been saved by the grace of God. Hey, every day ought to draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she lit off the camel and went and fell in His arms. The joyful union. They finally was united. They went and mother's tent and became wed. One of these days, church, wedding bells will ring just after the trumpet sounds. Amen. And brother, we're going to be home. We'll light off of grace and we'll fall in the arms of Jesus. And you're talking about a time. There's going to be some of these old dry Baptists been saved by the grace of God but hadn't ever shouted a day in their life and pick those that did apart. They're going to be some of them finally behold Him and really see Him for who He is. And they're going to, in spite of themselves, they're going to do flips in Glory Boulevard, a shout and a victory that they finally made it home. Amen. I can't wait to see some of them. Boy, I can't wait to see there myself. What a day. I'm going to get seen. I've heard so much about Him. Spiritually, you can say spiritually, I've seen Him. I have. Spiritually, I've seen Him. physically, I've never laid eyes on him. But one of these days, Job said, with these eyes, I shall behold him. One of these days, I will lay eyes on him. I will see nail-scarred hands. I will hold nail-scarred hands. I will bow at nail-scarred feet. One of these days. Hey, I don't mean much to me, preacher. He must not mean too much to you then. That's meaning everything to me. I can't wait to get to see him finally face to face. Hold on. We're just on the journey. Might be a rough one for you. Hold on. But boy, I'm thankful when I can't hold on no more, he holds on to me. See, it's the servant's job to get us there. We don't have to hold on. He'll hold on to us. Amen. Ain't nothing going to stop us from making it. Can I ask you this question? Are you going? Are you going? As they asked Rebekah, wilt thou go with this man? I want to ask you that question. Wilt thou go with this man, the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you go with the Holy Ghost to meet him? I'm glad I said I'd go. I'm glad I said I would. Best thing I ever done. If you're lost tonight, I believe the Holy Ghost is here looking for a bride. What an honor to have him. Ain't it? Holy Ghost, we honored to have you in our midst. Do you work? Search, speak, and secure the bride. There might be somebody here tonight he's looking for. Bless the day he looked for me. He may come up here on Easter Larka just to find you. Just to speak to you. Just to secure you. Make you a part of the bride of Christ. Don't make the mistake to say not now. He may not come back this way no more. You better say you will when he asks. And you will not regret it, I promise you. Journey may get a little rough, but the grace of God's going to see us through. I promise you. And one day we're going to meet him face to face. Preacher, you come out.